Well, good morning, church. We're so glad that you're here this morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you, my name is Dawson. I'm one of the associate family pastors here at Oceanside Community Church. And I pray that you are ready to digest the word of God this morning. But really quickly, I'm going to split the room right in half. This side and that side. And I need two competitors, one from each side, to come on up. Just two, real quick. Who's going to be brave? I'll wait. This is what happens when the preteen pastor preaches. I need one competitor from this side. All right. All right, give them a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Here they are. All right, you guys can stand right next to each other and face each other. And we are going to have a good old-fashioned staring contest. All righty. Ready? Say it with me. 3, 2, 1, go. And while they stare, I'll tell you that the average person blinks 15 to 20 seconds a minute, or 20 times a minute. And that the staring contest record is held by Fergal Eyesore Fleming of Northern Australia. Oh! Great job. Let's give our competitors a hand. Oh. There we go. Great sportsmanship. I'll also tell you that Fergal Eyesore Fleming lasted 42 minutes without blinking when he was trying to raise money to buy a local boy a wheelchair. That's some crazy endurance. And that is what we are going to be talking about today, is endurance. And this morning, I'll dive into some context. We're going to be reading from the book of Hebrews, which is the only book in the Bible whose original authorship remains shrouded in mystery. And the original purpose of the book of Hebrews was to present Christ Jesus, as the Messiah Savior who was and is and always will be superior to all others. And it was originally addressed to the early Jewish Christians. And these Jewish believers had pressure and persecution on multiple sides. On the one hand, they had a Roman regime that was persecuting them because the Romans strictly hailed Caesar as king, and they were obviously, these Jewish believers were hailing Jesus as king. And on the other hand, these Hebrew believers had pressure and shame from their former community, the Israelites, for turning away what they thought was turning away from the Torah, the law of Moses, and following Christ. So with all this pressure from multiple sides and persecution, this is what the early Hebrew, this is what the book of Hebrews was written about. And I want you to keep that in mind as we partake in scripture this morning. But first, a little context from Hebrews 11, and this is just a summary, and it says this. By faith, Abel brought a righteous offering before the Lord. By faith, Abraham obeyed the Lord and was blessed. By faith, Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. Kingdoms were conquered, justice was administered. Faith shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of flames, and raised the dead to life. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. This is the word of the Lord. Christ is enough. We can endure. Christ is enough. We can endure. And a couple weeks ago, as you saw in the video, we started this series about pressing on. And last week, Paul took us through the beginning of Hebrews chapter 12. And he taught us that together we move forward in Christ. This perseverance, we move forward in Christ. And it denotes a steady and consistent forward pursuit. And today our focus is on endurance. And you might be wondering, what's the difference? What's the difference between perseverance and endurance? And if you're a little bit confused, that's okay. Honestly, I was too. They're often used very interchangeably, so here's what we're going to clarify this morning. Here's how we want to illustrate them. While perseverance is a steady movement forward at Christ, endurance is navigating the trials that come at us as we persevere. Enduring, the word enduring gives this idea of remaining, like remaining strong while under pressure, or bearing trials. That's endurance. And to help me illustrate this, I'm going to call up my team, my preteen team, and they're going to come up here and help give a visual of this. So again, perseverance is this steady moving forward toward Christ, right? Always having our eyes fixed on Christ. And so as we move forward in life, it's a slow and steady perseverance, okay? But we all know that there are many, many, many trials. Hard things happen in life. Difficult circumstances. Maybe it's family conflict. It comes at you out of nowhere and it just hits you. It hits you hard, right in the face. I'm ready. I can take it. Or maybe it's the loss of a loved one that we have to endure. Or maybe it's being betrayed by somebody that you thought you could really trust. I dodged that bullet. We saved it. God is good. Maybe it's difficulties at work. Those ones hit hard. Maybe it's financial difficulties. Hits you right in the face. Maybe it's a difficult time battling addiction, or someone you love is battling addiction. Or maybe it's world events like at Tumblr Ridge or many other things that cause us to grieve deeply in our soul and we have to continue to press on forwards. Maybe it's any number of different world events that cause us grief. All right, give a hand for all the preteen teams. All right, thanks, guys. So as we persevere, as we continually move forward towards Christ, we have to hit all of these things that will happen. And endurance is bearing the trials as we persevere. And endurance is going through these hard things and still actively choosing to persevere. It's choosing to suffer righteously for more of God on the earth. So we know a little bit about what endurance is, but I want to clarify what endurance is not, which leads to my first point. As we endure, we do not neglect justice. As we endure, we do not neglect justice. Here's what endurance is not. Endurance is not rolling over and letting things simply happen to you without purpose. We are not doormats. We do not lay down and let the brokenness of the world trample us underfoot and call it endurance. That's not endurance. Look again at verse 2. It says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." Oh, by the way, this is Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. Sorry, I forgot to mention that. Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. And verse 2 says, "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." And Jesus knew that the cross was a despicable, dehumanizing act to take upon himself. But he endured it for a greater purpose. He endured it for the salvation of the world. Christ laid all the authority down and held back the legions of angels that were at his command to die in the hands of sinners. Christ endured the mockery of sinners and the shame of the cross because he knew that it brought ultimate justice in the end. And as we pick up our crosses and we follow in his ways, we will not stand by idly and be a punching bag. Now, many people at this point would say, hey, Dawson, okay, sounds great and everything, but wait. Jesus taught in Matthew 5, turn the other cheek. What about that? But please, I want you to notice this. When you look at the cultural context in which it was written, it takes on a different meaning than simply taking abuse. Because in those days, Jesus said, striking somebody on the right cheek, which is what Jesus was referring to, would be a backhanded slap, which was more of an insult to someone's personal dignity rather than just something that was abusive. And so here's a quote from Bible Project that explains this well. Jesus is not suggesting that his followers should stand around and take abuse. First, turning a left cheek was a bold rejection of the insult itself. Second, it challenged the aggressor to repeat the offense while requiring that they now strike with the palm of their hand, something not done to a lesser, but to an equal. In other words, turning the other cheek strongly declares that the opposer holds no power for condescending shame because the victim's honor is not dependent on human approval. It comes from somewhere else, and we know where it comes from. So we do not endure just by getting hit side by side by side. We endure with justice. And we will bring a radical lifestyle that stands for righteousness and justice while still uncompromisingly staying with grace and forgiving one another. And we will continue to press on with grace and uncompromising justice. And also, as we endure, we have faith for a victory. That's my second point. As we endure, we have faith for our victory. As believers, we wait with anticipation, looking forward to the glorious unfolding of the kingdom of God here on earth, because we recognize that Christ reigns victorious. And we get hints of this all throughout Scripture, that Christ is victorious. And one hint that we get is from this section, Hebrews 12:2, and it states that Jesus sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And this imagery of being seated at someone's right hand is woven throughout the Scriptures. And to put it simply, being at the right hand of God, Jesus being at the right hand of God, means that the Messiah, Jesus, has equality with God. And furthermore, Jesus is sitting down as the reigning king. And this refers to the fact that the redemption mission that he came on 2,000 years ago is accomplished. And this imagery of him sitting down is a very, very beautiful image, because in the Old Testament, priests used to stand by the altar day after day, bringing sacrifices before the Lord so that people could be in right standing with him. But because there was all this sin, their work was never done, and they had to remain standing day after day after day, offering continual sacrifices to the Lord for the sins of the people. But when Christ sacrificed himself, it was enough. It was enough once and for all. And so Christ returned to heaven, and he sat down because his sacrifice for sin was finished and sufficient. So we can endure because Christ holds the victory. Who here is watching the Olympics? Anyone? Anyone? I'm not really, but I did watch some highlights of a very, very, very powerful figure skating competition, and I never thought I would be so moved. But it was a beautiful thing. But these athletes, in all kinds of sports, these athletes, you'll notice something when you analyze them. They have this One of their greatest points of concentration is always on a specific target. And I'm a basketball fan, and Stephen Curry, who is the best basketball shooter in NBA history, he says that one of the keys to having a good shot is fixing your eyes on the right part of the target. And in the same way, as we endure, we fix our eyes on Jesus. Again, in verse 2, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus. And this is the only way that we will enjoy the true justice in the world. And this is the only way that we will enjoy the victory in Christ is if we fix our eyes on him. Only when we follow in his commandments and follow in his ways and obey his teachings and truly love him and love the world is when we will actually enjoy the victory that he promises. As we endure, we fix our eyes on Jesus. And in the same way that is a difficult task for athletes to remain with their eyes focused on a singular target, fixing our eyes on Jesus is a challenge. And there will be times when our eyes will stray. But please, no matter the life circumstances that face you, I know this illustration earlier was a little bit silly, but a lot of those things that we have to endure in life are brutal. We shouldn't have to hear in the news, you know what we have to hear in the news sometimes, but we shouldn't have to hear that. But we do. And because we do, we need someone that we can anchor our faith in. And that's Jesus. But it only happens when we fix our eyes on him. Please, stay the course. Run the race. Fight the temptation to do things your own way. Turn your eyes to the only one who can actually help. Fix your eyes on him and endure. Now, before I finish, I want you to be able to leave here with a little bit of retention and recollection of things that you maybe learned here today. And I was taught about the effectiveness of active learning versus passive learning. And so in order to make this stick with you, you'll see this graph. Teaching one another or even discussing it helps learning stay in our minds longer than if you just hear me talk. And so I know this might be uncomfortable for some of you, but I would love for you to turn to a neighbor and I would love for you to teach them something that you learned this morning. I'm calling it the 20-second teach. I'll give you a little more than 20 seconds, but give yourself roughly 20 seconds to teach your neighbor something that you learned this morning, and then you can switch, and then the other person will teach for 20 seconds, and then we'll come back, okay? So I'll see you in 40 seconds. 3, 2, 1, go. If you haven't switched yet, maybe switch. I'm going to invite you to wrap up, and I'll invite the music team up at this point. Now, I hope that you got something out of that, but again, 20 seconds only will get you so far, and it's just not going to cut it. So if you want to continue to grow in your faith, and as well as discuss these things in depth with other people, please feel free to join a life group. I know you can talk to me or Joseph and Hannah and Marcello or Paul or Trudy. You can talk to us, and we would love to get you into a life group where you can talk about these things more in depth and discuss them. As I wrap up this morning, I want you to remember, silly as may have been, the staring contest. And I pray that it will remind you that Christ is with you and that you can endure. He is faithful throughout the hardships of your life. He's faithful through the lives of the early Hebrew believers when they were facing persecution, and he can be found faithful in your life as you seek him and endure. And if you are new to all of this and you don't necessarily understand all that I was saying, or maybe you just want to get to know God more and you want more of God to help you endure in life, please come to talk to myself or any of the other pastors here, and we can get you a small booklet that just talks a little bit about what following Jesus is like. And if you are feeling weary this morning, I encourage you, as it says in verse 3, to consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. And we would love to do that through a worship song together. And as we sing, we can remember the heroes of the faith in Hebrews 11 who endured. And because of that, their faith was counted as righteous. And I pray that as we sing, you are stirred at how God is faithful and how he is just and victorious, both yesterday and today and forever.